Death counts. Christmas light. What made it December in the fields was that everything was silent, except for the ice creaking in every blade of grass, as if each one had been fastened in place by ropes so tight none would shift when the earth spun. Or the floorboards of the clay were drying out after the autumn rains. But what had seemed pliable and enduring, now so brittle, the teal of starlight a child might draw in the sky, or a fox's bark might finish it off. How were we to know that every night, let someone drop a key on the roadside in a townland miles off, or slam a shed door in the middle of the estate, and each time chandeliers would fall from the trees overhead, the blossom of their aftermath everywhere, but still be restored miraculously next morning. The engineers of light and frost at work, so each tea light by school time would be back again in the branches. The rest, even in the empty streets no one patrols, there is still a sense of the crowd nearby. On the two hills, the sunlight sits on the markers, thousands stacked under on the shelves of the planet, each tale a defeat, each life imagining no end of days. They hang over the town now, heavy as an orchard, or shine like conservatories filled with orchid and with amaryllis, into which they have been changed. Those queuing now in the superstore car parks are wheeling their trolleys into the cave where it is cool. They raise their eyes and watch remote figures move among the white stones, like the keepers or guardians those who survive are. And as each shadow steps between the stone faces and the sun, it is as though a signal is sent to the rest of us in pulses of light, two words at a time, over and over. Your life, your life. Ballynoe halt. It's not that it's not still working. Somehow there are channels still driven across the countryside. Vectors, certainly. Directions. Unusual approaches to destinations no longer reached. Winter palaces on the outskirts. Dashes. Tea houses. It is clear that what has taken place always retains a grip on the present. The stone circle, a little way off, still fixes its one good eye on the heavens, though all who followed the point of its gaze are gone, and none stands there now for guidance in the skies. But it still toils for its keep on the landscape, just as, at this point, on the line. Though you may wait for summer hours, what comes down the hollowed out funnels where the tracks were? Pulling up with finials, curlicues, and Gothic balustrades on slick wheels is now the silence that used to surge back only afterwards, powered now by the furious locomotive of grasshoppers. Coastal erosion. It comes as a surprise that it's the other way round. The trees in the hedges are low this far out the lanes and reel backwards in the wind that comes off the sea, shot with salt, as if a gun has gone off and they are all caught ducking or are walking off quickly in another direction, like the gunman. What happens is, nothing is given back, but everything is added to this brusque earth, this vantage point, observation post, these angles. And nothing whatsoever comes back to the hungry eye. No return on attention other than the wind rifling through the grasses and the light hunting the shadows across the shallow dunes which comb over onto the increasingly sandy fields. Where, at places, the fingers of grass claw the whole beach inland, grains turning up in fodder, and then on living room carpet tiles in town, with the vacuum stuttering and its fuselage coughing up glitter.